Okay. The last week, we had been discussing this very complicated case in Kofei Zayin Ramah Sif Yud, but let's just chazer the end of that Ramah Sif Yud, which is not so complicated, starting from, I guess, the Lamed Beis of the Shach. Let's cut Lamed Beis of the Shach. It says, Aval Imrasa Shalosh Pa'amei Ritzuv Machar Leida. If a woman stams, sees three times in a row, Machar Tashma, she has to give birth. Lo Talina Baleida, we don't assume it's because of giving birth. Ela Tzrichum Dikas HaShoferes. Then she's stuck as a row Machar Tashma with the Shoferes, etc. Okay, that's this. All these kulas were if there was a pattern of three births. But if stam, a woman gives birth and sees three times, then even though it could be that it's because of the Machar, because of the birth, but since we don't have any actual evidence, then we have to call her Ro Machus Tashmish, and she is stuck. The the end of this Ramah, which we hadn't seen yet, the last sentence of the Ramah on Sif Yud said, Miu kal makam shetzricha bedikam avra v'shimshav l'rasa muteres, any place she is becheskes Ro Machus Tashmish. We're at the end of the Ramah on Sif Yud. Any woman who's in the case where she's becheskes Ro Machus Tashmish, which is what's called tzricha bedika, the only way to matter is with this bedika, the shoferes test. If she does an aveira, and she does tashmish with her husband, which she's not allowed to, of course, and then becomes our queen, and the poskim say that means they actually checked the proper bedika and it was clean, muteris, then she becomes muteris, the tashmish says, what's about other bedika shoferes king near Eli, right? He figured out on his own that if the shoferes coming out clean is matter her, then a bia is for sure matter her, because a bia is more like a bia. Obviously, it is a bia. Then a shoferes is like a bia, and therefore that. Okay. That proves that she's better, and she's muteris. It seems like a good kavachomer. If the shoferes coming clean proves that she's better, then this should for sure prove that she's better.
Why wouldn't you say Shalei Chotei Nisgar?
Interesting question. Why we don't say Shalei Chotei Nisgar? So Luchora, the answer is that because this is like such a difficult situation that we, of course, we get divorced, and so therefore we're not going to put Knas, so that won't be Chotei Nisgar. Here there's a bit of a focus, the Shach quotes the Sefer Api Ravervi, who disagrees and says you need three times. Only, because it's like being Ochre of Esses, you need three times the Ochre of Esses, says you need, excuse me, three times, that's the Api Ravervi, but the Shach himself agrees with the Ramah that only one time is good enough. Again, not that this comes up L'maisa, but the Achronim also lean that way. Rabbi Kiva Eger, if you work out his cheshbon, he clearly agrees with the Ramah and the Shach. Okay, the other Achronim also lean that way. Lamaisa, we hold like the Ramah and the Shach against the Api Ravervi. The question is, we're not even sure what the Svara of the Api Ravervi is. Like, I mean, two questions of the Api Ravervi. Number one, right, so here we have Avra Vishimsha, says the Ramah, and the Shach, and the Achronim, one time. Says the Ape Ravervi, three times. So, first you have to ask, well, why does he require three times? So the answer, this ties into Machlokas, we'll see later on, in some Kofte tests, when we haven't gotten some of the details of Estos, whether a vestas that has to do with an action is uprooted one time or three times. So he obviously holds that it's uprooted three times. But the better question, okay, that's reasonable. The better question the Api Ravervi is, if one Bedika Shoferes is good enough, then why isn't one Bia good enough? And here there are two answers in the Achronim. The Dogelmer Vava actually says both of them. He has an answer and then an ode. Either, number one, he disagrees with the shoferis also. He thinks the shoferis is only matter if you find blood on the sides. But if it comes out clean, it's not matter her, against all the poskim. So you could say that Taki thinks a clean shoferis test also doesn't work. And then he's consistent. Or you could say, the Dogmer Vava, the clean shoferis test works to prove she's cured, But in the problem with Bia is that there's Zera, and the Shechla Zera could cover up some blood, and therefore, if you get a clean Shofaris test, that proves she's cured. But a clean Bia doesn't prove she's cured. Maybe there was blood, it was just covered up by the Shechla Zera, and therefore you need three times, and then it wouldn't be coincidence that blood would get covered all three times, and then you'd be sure she's cured. Okay, either way, that's just explaining the svara of the apigraphy. We hold that even one time proves she is cured. Again, not that this necessarily comes up a lot, Lamaisa, but, you know, like, let's say you would have some weird case where someone would say, like, oh, they had, like, Ria Machos Tashmish 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times, and they didn't know any halachas, and then the next time they didn't have Ria Machos Tashmish, and they checked, then you could rely on Rama and the Shach and say that they're okay. Okay, Yud Aleph. Isha sherasa machos tashvish l'acher chatzi shana chazva rasa machos tashvish. So one saw machos tashvish, and exactly half a year later saw again machos tashvish. Materis l'balish, or the kavam v'sholos v'esos shavim, below b'dilok. So clearly she's materis to her husband. She doesn't have three times. She doesn't have three times in a row. She doesn't even have three times in equal intervals or at jumping intervals.
Yes. I still have a question from before, which is why, so what's the story to say that one time is enough? Meaning, like, if she's already,
what's the story to say one time is enough? Good question, which you could have asked back in the Shofaris also, right? Except that over there, you could say the story to say one time is good enough because it's going also it was from the Tzadim, if you remember, a Cheshvon up there. What's the svara to say one time is good enough? So all the achronim assume that the svara is that a veses that has to do with an action is uprooted even if it fails once. And that we'll see in some inkof peites. That's the simple svara. Or you have to say that this is not like regular vestos, it's a unique disease, and then if it's cured, it's cured. So you either have to say we don't use the regular rules of vestos here, which is complicated, or you have to say that even within the regular rules of Vestos, a Vestos with an action is uprooted once. That's what the Dogmer Vava and the Rabbi Kiva Eger assume, is the Svara here. That a Vestos Maisa is uprooted even just once, gets uprooted even just once, even if you miss it once. Okay, good question. Yud Aleph. So this woman who saw and then 6 months later saw again Machos Tashmish. So she obviously has no Kvias Vestos, not with any intervals, not with jumping intervals, not in a row, nothing. But she has a Vesa She'enu Kavua. What's the Vesa She'enu Kavua? That, not a Vesa She'enu Kavua for Tashmish. Remember, we already learned that they weren't Gozer Vesa She'enu Kavua for Tashmish, because then that would mean she couldn't do another Tashmish, and she's also forever. And they were never Gozer to Aser someone forever, because of Vesa She'enu Kavua. What it means is, she's Choshesh for the Vesa She'enu Kavua of the time. Once. Now, what does the time mean? Says she, a half year later, so if it was, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and then Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, then when it's next Rosh Chodesh Nisan, another 6 months, then she has to be porish that ona that she saw. Because she's choshev what's called a haflaga, an interval of 6 months. That's if it happened twice. But first of all, we should point out what the Shach says here. The Shach says, and this is something we'll learn about more in some Kuf Pei Tes, the Shach says that there are actually two types of calendrical vestos. There's haflaga. Haflaga means interval. And there's Yom HaChumash, day of the month. So the Shach says, even though the Mechaber only said that she has to be choshesh or vesa she'enu kavua of the interval of half a year, she also, even though he doesn't say it here, but based on the general rules, she also has to be choshesh for a vesa she'enu kavua of the day of the month. So in my case, where it was Rosh Chodesh Nisan and then Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, she'd have to be choshesh for 6 months later for the interval and for Rosh Chodesh of Cheshvan because of the day of the month. Okay, she has to be choshesh for those things once. That's if it's eno kavua. Yes.
Does that fit with I guess modern science, the idea of like flaga, like an interval, it's like half a year, it seems like.
It's a good question. I don't know. But, you know, it could, since other intervals would, it could just be that this is a low plug. You know, clearly intervals fit modern science, right? The question is, where do you draw the line? So, I mean, it could be that, I mean, even though we'll see it's more complicated in Kofpe tests, I apologize that I keep saying we'll see in Kofpe tests, but it could be that we just make a general rule. Okay, here it gets a little complicated. There's a big machlokas here. Before we go on to the safe of Sif Yudal, what's the case here? Let's say she sees here is Sif Yud Aleph. What happened? She saw Rosh Chodesh Nisan and Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. Now she's Chosheshes Le Tashmish Ve Haflagas. Haflagas just means interval. Chatzi Shana equals Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Okay? This is similar to what we saw in the beginning of Sif Yud. If you remember all the way back to the Mechaber in Sif Yud, says that if she sees it on Leil Tfilasa or Leil Sheni Tfilasa, then the next time she has to be Chosheshes. So this is similar to Sif Yud, where she sees on Leil Tfilasa, right? And let's just take one here. So we'll think about Leil Tfilasa and Leil Tfilasa. It would be the same whether it was one or two. She is Chosheshes to the combination of Tashmish Ve Leil Tfila, and therefore she is Poreshet. She separates from Tashmish. Tashmish Bit Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Here she is Poreshes Mi Tashmish. She refrains from Tashmish Bil Leil Tfilasa on her next Leil Tfila. Now the question in both these cases is, what happens if, actually one easy question is, which is not covered here at all, what happens if she sees anywhere in Rosh Chodesh Nisan without Tashmish? Okay, then the answer is she just has a Veses of 6 months, okay, it's actually not so poshut, but oversimplifying here, and has nothing to do with Tashmish. Okay, that's not interesting. What happens then if, what are the two possibilities? One possibility is if Avra Vishimsha V'lo Rasa, then it's poshut. What happens if she was Avra, she violated Halacha V'shamesh when she should have been careful and she didn't see? Then what happens? She's fine. It was Oker the Vesses, right? Then, Nekra, right? Hachshash. Hachshash means Vesses She'eno Kavua, right? She had a Vesses She'eno Kavua, which didn't happen three times, four. Tashmish in 6 months. So, then it was Nekra. Here also, if Avra v'shimsha v'lo rasa, then nekra hachshash, right? Meaning that she no longer has a veshin kavua. That's pashut. However, in astam, we're not talking about people who are doing averos, right? Let's say she keeps halacha. Here it becomes funny. If she keeps halacha, what if, this is a more interesting question, what if Lo Shimsha, the Lo Rasa, right? After all, she kept the halacha. She didn't do Tashmish. And if she didn't do Tashmish, of course she didn't see. We're only worried. So now what happens? Is that Oker the Vesis? Is that Oker the Chash? The Chash was the combination of Tashmish and 6 months. So she didn't do Tashmish. Should that be Oker the Vesis? Right?
What? The 6 months is already, the 6 month interval is never going to happen again.
Ah, okay, good point. How about this case? Should it be Oker the Chashash of Leil Tfila and Tashmish? You're a Dugner, that's exactly what Dugner Rava says, right? So here it becomes a little tricky. In both Sif Yud and Sif Yud Aleph, and Sif Yud, I promised I would get back to this in Sif Yud Aleph, the Pisri Tshuva, There it was Sifkat Mem Gimel. Here it's Sifkat Mem Ches. Quotes from the Chavos Das. A big chumer from the Chavos Das. Ayin Chavos Das, Shekosav. Says the Chavos Das. Says the Chavos Das. He says, Lo Nekra. Vechosheshes Liolam. And he says the same thing here. Lo nekra. Hold your thought, Yoni. V'choshesh li'olam. Says the Chavos Das, if you have this kind of v'shesheni kavua, you can never uproot it as long as you're from. Because you'll never do tashmish in that time. So you never have a test case. What's a test case? The same thing happens and you don't plead. But you'll never do tashmish in that time because the v'shesheni kavua. Never, you can never uproot it. And forever you have to worry about this. So a woman who sees on Leil Tefila once, can never have Tashmish on Leil Tefila again because she never uprooted it. She never proved what would happen if she had Tashmish on Leil Tefila. And a woman who sees 6 months, we'll come back to what Yoni said in a second, can never have Tashmish 6 months after. Now you have to figure out exactly every 6 months again. Let's see. Can never have Tashmish at 6 months because she never uprooted it.
All right, we're talking about a convenient case of 6 months, but realize that we're talking about any scenario where there's a noticeable amount of gap. So any person who's ever wrote off Tashmish once and then saw a second time should always have to calculate the time difference between those two and should forever keep such a beset.
Could be, not only that, remember that Shach said you also worry about the day of the month? So anyone who's ever wrote about Tashmish on any day of the month, to the best of my knowledge, every day is a day of the month. So anyone who's ever wrote about Tashmish, let's say it was on Tess, they're usher and Tess for the rest of their life because they can never be Oker, the best Shein of Tashmish and Tess. And that's exactly what the Chavos Das says. That's a big chiddush, right? Says, Choshesh is the Olam, Lehaflaga, Ooh, Liyom HaChodesh. That's a big chumrah. That's a big chumrah.
Well, it's his Yom HaChodesh is for which one? It's meaning you've seen it once. It was on the first time you saw it.
You saw it on Rosh Chodesh, let's say. So every Rosh Chodesh, you're also in Tashmish, because maybe Rosh Chodesh and Tashmish makes you bleed.
I mean, you first saw Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and you haven't seen it from any other Rosh Chodesh.
But forget about that. Now you saw Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, right? So, starting now, you have to worry about every Rosh Chodesh. So if you have Tashmish on Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan and you don't see, then it's Oker. But you're not allowed to have Tashmish on Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan.
I assumed it meant that 6 months from now, you'd have to be worried about the Rosh Chodesh of 6 months from now.
No, he says they're two separate Cheshoshos.
It's not hitting every 6 month Rosh Chodesh?
No, he means two separate things. Yes, there's a separate rule of days of the month and a separate rule of intervals. That's an accepted principle in Kofi Beit Tes.
That means something else.
But between the first and second.
No, that, what?
Between the first and second, I think is what you're saying. You've had relations on Rosh Chodesh. Between Tishrei and Nisan, you've had relations
on Rosh Chodesh. No, it's not every Rosh Chodesh.
Once you see once on Rosh Chodesh, you can't do it.
No, you need twice every
single. No, it's only for once. Twice is only for a flood, because you can't have a flood without two times.
Yes. It's a good question. We're not sure what the case is and if that would make a difference. Yesh la'ayin. You know, maybe the case is she didn't have a Tashmish or Rosh Chodesh in between. Or even if she did, that was overridden by Tishrei. Anyway, l'maisa, how does it sound from the Mechaber? What did the Mechaber say? Miyu choshesh la'achron pam achas shishi yegia chati shanam yom yizdam achron asura ona achas. She's chosheshes, listen to this lashon, pam achas. She's chosheshes once. Sounds like she's only chosheshes once, not the rest of her life. Now, if you want to make it a kimta, that's only if she's she's not varian. It's funny. The Mechaber says she only worries once. He doesn't say she's not varian. The Chorish throwing out a front person only worries once. And the same thing in Sif Yud. The lashon of the Mechaber was, kishetegil tefila cheres tzricha lifrosh. The Ein Tzarech Lifrosh the next time. Both cases of the Mechaber is Mefurish, you're only Asura once, not twice. And it's hard to make it akin that he was talking about someone who violated the Halacha. So the Mechaber sounds differently. And here the Shach is also very explicit about this. Says the Shach V'im lo rasa b'tesva b'ir choshesh lehaflaga chatzi shana v'shov ein choshesh el tesva b'chodesh. Says if you miss it once, you don't worry again. So says the mechaber. In both cases, nope. She only chosheshes once, and then it's nekar. Only chosheshes once, and then it's nekar. The shach didn't say anything in Sif Yod, but here he says the same thing as the mechaber, right? And he's very, very explicit. So the mechaber and the shach really sound like the Chavos Das, unless you want to give, you know, let's call it, you know, unless you want to give a crazy attempt to the mechaber. He was only told me I'm Navarian, but that's funny, right? It's called the Stimas Mechaber. Chaber wrote Stam. He didn't write if you're an Avarian. Lachor, if he only meant for an Avarian, he should have said so. You think the halachs in the Shulchan Aruch written Stam is only if someone does an Avera? No, he means you only have to worry once. So what's the svar for the Mechaber and the Shach that she only has to worry once? And we pass like the Mechaber and the Shach. What's the svarah that you only have to worry once? What's the svar that you only have to worry once? So Yoni pointed out what the Dagal Mirvava says. That the Dagal Mirvava said... the Dagal Mirvava said, well, if it's a case of 6 months, you only have to worry once. Why? Because the Afluga is 6 months from the last Re'iyah Machmas Tashmish. So, but if it didn't happen once, then there isn't going to be another 6 months from the last Re'iyah Machmas Tashmish. Here it's subtle. Do you say 6 months is from your last Re'iyah or from your last Re'iyah Machmas Tashmish? So the Dagal Mirvava assumes it's from the last Re'iyah Machmas Tashmish. So in this case, there's an easy explanation for the Mechaber. Ah, why? What's the Svara? Svara. So in Sif Yud Aleph, you can say what the Dagal Mirvava says. It's not an Akira. After all, an Akira is only if the situation happens and she doesn't bleed. Here the situation didn't happen. She never had Tash for 6 months. But she will never have another 6 months from the last Re'iyah Machmas Tashmish. Right? She might have 6 months from a Re'iyah, but she won't have 6 months from another Re'iyah Machmas Tashmish, unless she has a Re'iyah Machmas Tashmish again, and then she has to worry about it.
What about the Yom Chodesh?
Ah, so that does not help for the... for the Yom HaChodesh, and that's why he says that. That's why he's on that line of the Shach. He says, "Taka, I can only justify a flag. I can't justify the Yom HaChodesh." So I say in the Mechaber Sefer Aleph, right? This is the Dagal Mirvava, but. But for Yom HaChodesh or Leil Tfila, he agrees with the Chavos Das. In which case, he can't really be pshat in the Mechaber, because then he's only good pshat in the Mechaber in Sif Yud Aleph. He's not a good pshat in the Mechaber in Yud. So he's not really, he doesn't ask that on himself. He's not really rescuing the Mechaber. What's the real pshat in the Mechaber? The real pshat in the Mechaber is what the Sidrei Tara says in the back here. The Sidrei Tara says that Vesesh Einu Kavua is a very light gzeira. Vesesh Einu Kavua is a light gzeira, Midrabanan. And they weren't gozer Vesesh Einu Kavua in a case where it would last forever. Just to not be matriach you, since Vesesh Einu Kavua is only a light gzeira Midrabanan, they weren't gozer that it should last forever. Even though logically it should last forever. But they didn't want to be a shriach anymore. Therefore, they made a special rule in Vesher Shein and Kavua that is never usher more than once. As a kula. So he just says, since Vesher Shein and Kavua is only a light Shash Midrabanan. I mean, it's not like Vestos Mamish, which might be Doraisa or might be half Doraisa or at least have a mucker in the Doraisa. Therefore, they were only goes there to keep it once. Even though logically you should keep it more than once. Logically it should be usher forever, but it's just a kula. Right? He says it's just a kula. It's not logical. Logically you should have to keep it your whole life. But they didn't want to be on Triyachi so much. If Vesa Shaina Kavua, they said, we'll make you separate once. They didn't want to make you separate more than once for Vesa Shaina Kavua. Therefore, there only goes there once, even though logically it shouldn't be Nekar. But nonetheless, they didn't want to be on Triyachi too much for Vesa Shaina Kavua. That's a very light Zera. Okay, that's probably Pshat and Machar.
If the Chacham was dead on his Pshat by Vesa Flaga also, how does he respond to that when Rabba is not very good?
Aha. So the Pasha Pshat is. That this, I mean, that's the discussion of Piskei Chuvus of Kut Nun, really. He just, where the Chavos Das himself admits that the Dagomer Vava Svar is correct. And if I recall correctly, I hope I'm not going to misquote the Chavos Das. Yeah, that's what I think in the Lashon of the Chavos Das. That really the difference in the Chavos Das and the Dagomer Vava is the 6 months counted from any Re'iyah or only from a Re'iyah Machlas Tashmish? The Chavos Das thinks the Vesis is 6 months from Re'iyah. And therefore, anytime she gets her period, she has to worry 6 months from then.
But then, well, first of all, then you should still be Moda, that if you're Porish and you don't have your period, then...
Yeah, in a Chavos, he is Moda in that. That's in the Pesach window. But when regular women get their period eventually. So I think that's the subtle difference. Dagon Meir Vava thinks it's Tashmish v'haflogas chatzi shana may re'iyah machlas tashmish. And that's not going to happen again. Because you're not going to have another re'iyah machlas tashmish. The Chavos Das says, tashmish, not tashmish, tashmish v'haflogas chatzi shana may re'iyah. And mistama re'iyah will happen eventually.
Why does it make sense? In other words, if we're talking about re'iyah machlas tashmish, so like, it's a different kind of vesis than just like a...
I hear the taina. Yeah, at a certain point, it's like an intuition. It's hard to have an intuition. So we'll leave it at that. I mean, beyond that, I don't, know how much I can be masper. Okay, that's the reisha. That's the hard part of Sifyat Aleph. Let's just do the safe of Sifyat Aleph, which is easier. If she's koveya vesas for riyas damachus tashvish three times in a row in an even pattern, then okay, that's a vesas kavua muteris l'shamish v'vesel vesas. When it's not that time period, she's allowed to be tashvish. Achimia vesas moresha she yakar shlosh b'amim. But during the time of Vesas, she has to be Porish until she's Ochre three times. And this is a Vesas Kavua, so we don't have any Kulas. The only way to be Ochre this three times is to be Navari three times.
Or is he just saying you have to wait three cycles? Isn't that the same as before?
No, but that's not his Lashon. His Lashon is Ye Ocher Shalosh Pamin. He doesn't say she's Asur three times. He says Ye Ocher Shalosh Pamin. So that, I think, even the Machaber would admit that you need to be Navari in order to uproot this, and if not, you're stuck forever. Let's say she sees Rosh Chodesh, three Rosh Chodesh in a row, Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Machlas Tashmish. She's also Rosh Chodesh forever, because she can never uproot it, because she never does Tashmish on Rosh Chodesh. And this is a Vesas Kavua, so they were Matriya her to be Usher forever.
Just to clarify, you could also only be Koveya this Vesas by being Kavak, because you should have been Purish then on Rosh Chodesh?
Correct. Nachon. right, at least the, yeah, correct. Enachon. Okay. Yes, yes. Okay, yes. You reap what you sow, as they say. Okay. Sifyud Beis. Hara machmas tashmish sholosh pa'amim asher lash hosa af im eina rotsu lovo leo elam ki rotsu al shosh al vishlish lo yelchetz lo be'edim. Okay, this is not so much hilchos nida as hilchos, arayos. Let's say a woman becomes asher her husband because hara machmas tashmish. So she's asher to her husband, right? Then he's not allowed to say, I'll stay married to her, I'll just refrain from Tashmish. Why? Because we have a Gzeira that'll engage in Tashmish anyway. Normally, when your wife's in need, are you Usher in Yichud? No. I mean, you would notice that in everyday life. Why are you allowed to, your mom is allowed to sleep in the same room and interact with her all day long. Why are we worried that you'll do an Aveira when your wife's in need? Because pas pasalo, right? Meaning bread in your basket. Meaning, you know she'll be with Teres in a week. You can hold out for a week. You know, you have patience. But in this case, she's asur forever if she's a Ramach Tashas three times. If she's asur her husband forever, then we make a gzera that they might be nechshol, and therefore they're not allowed to stay married unless they do two conditions. Number one, he has a steward take care of her living expenses, meaning he doesn't give her money all the time and take care of things and interact with her all the time, but rather he, because if he interacts with her all the time, he'll end up being nechshol. So number one, he has to appoint like an officer to take care of all her needs all the time, and number two, he shouldn't visit her without Edom. He shouldn't visit her without Edom, and then he won't be nechshol since he doesn't have to interact with her every minute. And if he happens to visit her once in a while, he brings Edom. That's the only time we trust him. That he won't be nechshol. But the chiddush is just stam to say, I'll avoid yichud, is not enough. Right? If he just stam says, I'll just avoid yichud, that's not enough. He has to be extra far away and A, appoint an officer to take care of her financial needs, and B, always bring Edim whenever he visits her. Which is more machmer than regular halachas of yichud. The Shach Lamed Vav here is like a little funny. He quotes a Maharam Padu who says if they move to different neighborhoods, then that's okay because that's like better than Edom. That seems sort of obvious. If he doesn't visit her, then he doesn't need Edom. If he does visit her, then he still needs Edom. So it's not 100% clear exactly how this is commenting on the Shulchan Aruch, but I mean, it's true. If they move to different neighborhoods and he doesn't visit her, there's no problem. But anyway, there's an interesting discussion, which is not really our case in this Piskei Tshuva Nun Aleph. It's just worth mentioning. What if she's usher to him because of Nida, not because of Romach Tashmis? Let's say she's a Nida and she can't go to the mikvah. She has some medical condition and she can't go to the mikvah. Are we also this Machmir, or only this Machmir in Romach Tashmis because the guy will be Mora Heter and say, oh, well, it'll probably won't happen. That is Basavik. You know, what if she has, like, she's a nida mamish, not just a romach was tashmish? Then maybe we should be more minkal and say, as long as it's not misyachid, it's okay, or are we equally machmir? Okay, doesn't come up all the time anyway, but it's an interesting question. Yes?
And that's what they said that,
his lashon is that first he says no. This is this two. This is something is two. He says number one, maybe we're very machmir because only an issur d'rabbanan, and number two, no, maybe we're very machmir because she's also forever.
Right.
So that's the suffix of the piskei tshuva. If we're only machmir issur d'rabbanan, then d'oraisa, we wouldn't be so machmir. If we're machmir because she's asur forever, then even under rices would be machmir.
Oh, I thought the basis it was basically saying yes. I mean, even that.
No,
each,
I think
each,
it's
each
2 days.
Independent.
Okay, I'm not sure. It could be. I mean, that's obviously the suffix of the whoever he's quoting here. It's also bias. Anyway, we will leave that for now. And again, this doesn't normally come up l'maisa. Yud Gimel. This does come up. Haboel es habisula. Kam upon him. Barasa damachas tashmish. What if a guy marries a basula and for many years in the beginning she sees damachas tashmish? Leola machsakinishing dam basula. We assume it's dam basula, not dam nida. Achid shamish pam achas lotur damachas tashmish. Until she has one tashmish. And the achronim say here that in the beginning of Sukkot Nun Gimel, that you know, it means a full tashmish, a proper tashmish. There's a proper tashmish without blood. So in other words, you assume it's dam besulim until you have a bia without blood, And then, if the blood comes back, then you assume it's Ro'amachmas Tashmish. But basically, as long as there's straight bleeding from the wedding night, every time, you attribute it to the Basulim and not the Tashmish. Now, there's some funny person quoted in this Panim Eros, not the Panim Eros Chashal, but some Rav who he doesn't name, who wants to say, well, if it's not Basulim for a long time, it's not even Tamihar at all. She doesn't even need to go to the mikvah. That's not true. She needs to go to the mikveh each time because Dam Basulim is Metame Midrabana. And we know that those who are married know, and we'll learn it later in the Shulchan Aruch, that Chazal were Gozer, Dam Basulim is Metame Mishamnida. But it just means that we attribute Dam Basulim. She still is Tamei and needs to go to the mikveh, and Nishim and Nikiyim. Just means she's not a Ro'amachmas Tashmish. The Ramah argues, and he says, V'afilu in lo paskulurus Dam Acha Pamachas im Ein lo Tzar Klal B'shas Tashmish Kolonosh Lotlim Dam Basulim. Says Ramah, no, it's not enough that she is dam every bia from the beginning. We're only told of dam basulim. We only assume it's basulim if there's dam every bia from the beginning and it hurts, because you need extra evidence. After all, if it was really dam basulim, it should hurt because it's a cut. But only if there's pain. If there's no pain, then you assume it's Ro'amachmas Tashmish. Okay, what's the yisod of the machlokas between the mechaber and the Ramah? excuse me. Halacha le maisa. The Shach quotes that the Bach is more like the Mechaber, but then he quotes the Masas Binyamin and even the Beis Yosef, really, in the Beis Yosef, hesitated, and it sounds like he comes out being machmir, like the Ramah. And that's how the Taz comes out also. So if you're talking about Tliya Bidam Besulim, so if you have what's the lashon? Lo paska liros dam pam achas. She didn't even one time she stopped giving dam plus tsar. Then, for sure, we're tolim dam besulim, meaning she's a nida and has to go to the mikvah, but she's not a machmas tashmish. But what about just lo paska liros dam ham achas without tsar? Is that enough to be told of dam besulim? So then, that's a machlokes. Says the mechaber, we're told of dam besulim. Says the Ramah, we're not told of dam besulim, and she's a roh machmas tashmish. And the shach and the taz, plus Bach for the Mechaber, plus Shach and Taz for the Ramah, Lemaisa we hold, like the Ramah, that you're not Tola without Tsar. What's the basis of their Machlokes? The basis of their Machlokes is that there's a Mishnah. There's a Mishnah in the last perek of Maseches Nida. The Mishnah says, are we told of Adam Basulim? And the Mishnah says, it depends. A girl who's pre-menstrual, she's too young to get her period, then, I'm just going to tell you, Beis Hillel Shita, Ad Shetich Yamachet, till it gets better. As long as she bleeds every time, we assume it's Adam Basulim. What if she's old enough to get her period? Then, 4 nights we're told of dam besulim. What if she already got her period once? Then 1 night. Okay, and then there's even a more chumrah case. Later on, they discuss. In the Gemara. later on in the Gemara, they say if she's a bogeres, yeah, if she's a bogeres who already got her period once, then you only give her one bia. So there's four dargas in the Gemara. What are the four dargas in the Gemara? The four dargas in the Gemara are if lo higiyas mano liros, meaning she's too young to get her period, then it's adshetif yamaka. As long as she bleeds until it heals, you're tola. If it's higiyas mano liros, but she didn't actually see, if it's higiyas mano liros, but she didn't actually see, then it's arba lilos. You attribute four times. If it's ras already, she got her period once before the wedding, then it's one night. And if it's bogeres harasa, not only is she a very strange lady who got married after she already got her period once, but she's even older than 12 and a half. She's like an old maid, a spinster, a shidduch crisis. And then she finally got married, big simcha. Then it's only one bia, we're told in Dan Besulim. So, therefore, nowadays, what category is everyone in? Of course, the bogeres harasa, right? Everyone gets married older than 12 and a half, even by the Hasidim. Old and 12 and a half from stomach, they all get married when they already got their period once. And therefore, we're not tola adshetif yamach. We're not tola as long as she had blood every time, right? Meaning, lo pasko liros pam dam pam achas is the same as adshetif yamacha until it gets better once, right? So that's why the Rama is hesitant. The Rama says, how can you be tola adshetif yamacha? No, in our case, we have, we're bogros sherov, and you should only be able to be tola one bia. And that's why he says, well, if you want to be tola, you need extra evidence, such as tsar. But stam, you can't be tola. What's the svar of the machaber then? So basically, the machlokas is this. This mishnah is something you don't practice nowadays. This mishnah is being tola le'inyan what? This mishnah is... This is a Mishnah, and this last thing is just the Gemara. The first three cases of the Mishnah. This is a Mishnah in the beginning of the last Perek, which is Daf Samach Dalet Amud Beis. This is talking about the old days when they were more makel. Don't, anyone who got married, don't think of what we do nowadays. This is the old days when they were more makel. Okay, why were we machmir nowadays? Is that something we invented nowadays? Is that something that was invented already in the time of the Gemara after the time of the Mishnah? We'll get to. But this is le'inyan tliya litaher osoligamre. This is the old days when if you were tola in Badam Basulim, she would be tahor ligamre. She wouldn't need to go to the mikvah at all. She wouldn't be in need at all. Yeah, not like nowadays. And so what's the machlokas? Says the mechaber here, even though it's Yosef, he hesitated. The mechaber says, ah, yeah, if you want to be told to make her tar and she doesn't need to make at all, then we very machber. But if you just want to be told to not make her roedam machmas tashvish, that's easier. Because most women aren't roedam machmas tashvish. And therefore, everyone can use the most makel category. Meaning, this is for Tara Gemurah. But just be not Rodam Achmas Tashvish. You're going to make her go to the mikvah. You just don't want to make her Rodam Achmas Tashvish. Even though a chaver woman goes in the most kal category because it's more kal. And that's basically the machlokas. The machlokas is, says the mechaber, is that Tliya le'inyan Rodam Achmas Tashvish is more kal. And therefore, everyone can use the most lenient category. If there's a lenient category out there, everyone goes to the most lenient category, le'inyan Rodam Achmas Tashvish. Because in general, it's unlikely most women aren't Roa Machmas Tashmish, so we lean against Roa Machmas Tashmish. And the Ramah disagrees. He says, no, who says we're allowed to be more kal? Maybe we have to use the same rules for Roa Machmas Tashmish as there. Therefore, he says, if you have tsar, I'll be makel, but just stam, I won't be makel. And that's the basis of their machlokes, halacha maisu paskin, like the Ramah. Okay, last sif here says, Isha shishal makos upsom shen yuchol litol. If a woman has medical problems, she can't go to the mikvah for medical reasons, right? She has a ton of wounds that she can't get wet. So a woman can never go to the mikvah for medical reasons. The truth is that nowadays, you know, our medicine is a little more advanced, and depending on which poskim you ask, we'll get to this. This will be a very, very difficult inyan, much later in the year. According to some poskim, that a lot of women with medical problems can never go to the mikvah, they're stuck forever, and they just can never live with their husbands. But okay, according to most poskim, you know, with modern medicine, you could figure out some way for even a woman with a medical problem to tovel eventually. But in the old days, they didn't have modern medicine. You know, if a woman could have a certain medical problem, it was mamash, she couldn't tovel, so kadosh lefashos, or it was impossible for her to tovel. So what would happen in that case? She has to be divorced from her husband in order that he be able to fulfill a peruvu. And therefore, she gets... and therefore, she should be divorced. Okay, again, this is, you know, not really solomaisa nowadays. It's pretty uncommon this would happen nowadays. You know, it could be a woman might have something where she has to delay her tefillah for medical reasons. But nowadays, with modern medicine, especially, we could usually figure out some way for every woman to tovel, even if she has medical issues. So it doesn't really. Come up. Okay, let's go on to Simen Kuf Peches. Simen Kuf Peches. Ches, give me a chance, please. So the Gemara says, right, this, the Shulchan Aruch starts way after all the Gemara, right? He skips all the dinim in the Gemara. Okay, good. For that, we have the Torah and the Beis Yosef, to the Mishnah said, there are five tummy colors. Right? There are five tummy colors. What are the five tummy colors? Certain kind of blood red and black, and like the certain leaf of the crocus plant, and like water mixed with a certain soil, and like water mixed with wine. Okay. There are four shades of red and black. Why four shades of red and black? They figure out they have a mucker, why four shades of red, and they have a sorer that black is really red. That sort of changed to black lucca. It's, you know, it's not clear how to translate exactly lucca. Is it that it got oxidized, or is it that's just that something changed in the hormonal balance or something? And somehow the red blood, black is also a form of red. It's just a strange form of red. Okay, these colors are tame, as opposed to yarok, which is a machlokes, okay, without getting to Beit Shammai here. The reason we paskin, there are four shades of red plus black, which is five shades that are tummy. Okay, it's a big discussion. What is the nature of these, what is the relationship between these four shades of red? The Orcha Shulchan here has a long discussion. Is it a quantitative or qualitative difference? Like, are they just one darker than the other, or one redder than the other, or are they qualitatively different kinds of red? And he proves in the end that these are four qualitatively different types of red. It's not just, you know, it's not like a progression. They're just four totally different kinds of red. And okay, even that, you have to figure out exactly what he means by that. But luckily, we don't have to worry about any of this. Because he points out that, it seems to work out that, like, more stronger than this one might be Tamei, but lighter than this one is Tahor. But if it's a progression, the stronger this one is lighter than that one. So it must be they're just qualitatively different. Okay. Ayin Shom. Lamaisa, none of this is relevant to us, because already in the days of the Amoraim, they stopped paskening on blood because they lost the Masorah and they weren't experts on colors anymore. Right? So it's not just Ashkenazim, Tamei, and Arma who decide that we're not the Kiev and things anymore. Already the Amoraim weren't bekeim in these, and therefore we say anything that has any reddishness at all is tamei nowadays. Okay, that's accepted. So anything that has any reddishness at all or black is tamei nowadays because we don't have our bekeis. Let's read in the Shulchan Aruch then. Kol mare adom bein im hukeya harbi omok. Any type of red, whether it is light or deep, Tameim is Tamei nowadays. V'chein kol mare shachar. Likewise, any kind of black Ein tar elamari lavan, and the only tar is white. V'chein mare yaruk and yaruk. What does yaruk mean? Yaruk is a funny word. Afilu, right? Because don't translate the way you would nowadays. Because afilu kamari ashavo azahav, even like wax or gold, you know, which you could see as like approaching red somehow. That's still okay. Meaning types of yellow browns are okay. The kolshkin a yarkikarti. And for sure, something that is yoruk, like some sort of like okasavim, like some sort of grass or herbs, mean green. And it's likewise blue. Okay, there's many kinds of yoruk. There's yellow yoruk and green yoruk and blue yoruk. Lamaisa, white and yoruk are mutter, and other things, and anything that has any reddishness whatsoever. Is asar afilu yishvo smichos damu of harbe, even if it has the thickness of blood and it's very thick. Vafilu gishus niftach mukora bud kamiyad amatzamar salol tor. And even if she felt the opening of the mukor and she checked and found these and she knows it came from a mukor, means even if she knows it came from the uterus and it feels like blood, nonetheless this color is tahar. Says the Rama v'chein ikar d'lo ki yishvach min latamos yishvo smichos vu of. And that's the halacha, unlike those who want to be metame, if it if it's thick like blood. And later on, so if she feels a hargosha and finds red, she's smeh. If she feels hargosha and finds yoru, she's tahor. What if she feels hargosha and finds nothing? Okay, we'll deal with that to simanim from now. We're not going to deal with it right now. Okay, that's the basic rules of colors. However, there's some colors. Agav, that's the basic rules of colors. And the Minchas Chinuch explains. The Chinuch sounds a little different, but the Minchas Chinuch says the rule of the color of red is Gzeiras HaKasuv. Right? Even if it doesn't matter, even if it comes from the mucker, and even if it feels like blood, whatever it is, Gzeiras HaKasuv, that only red counts. And not anything else. And that's what we assume. If you could take a pill and turn the menstrual blood blue, then she would now never be Anita. Because it's Xeris Akasa that it depends on the color. It's not like trying to figure out biologically what it is. It's just Xeris Akasa that depends on the color. So even if you had some biological information, this was really X or really Y, it doesn't matter. It's Xeris Akasa that it just depends on the color.
Do you have to clarify what Xeris Akasa really was? But basically, the Gemara had it that it was, we know that there's, now that we've learned that some red is, some blood is bad and some blood is good. So now how do we know which one is the bad one? So the Gemara shows that blood is red. How does that prove anything, that red dominitos is blood, is bad blood?
Because it's the pasuk that says Vayuramov and Samayim Adumim Kedam, or whatever.
Isn't it just they saw that blood is red? So I mean, how do you know that that's the bad dom for Nidos?
No, so that's a remez, that the word dom means something red. And therefore, since the Torah used the word dam by
Yehuda,
dam is a vav of sarah.
Yeah, but we know dam. We know there's dam Torah and there's also dam tummy. Both of those are called dam. They're just different types of dam. So how does showing the fact that the word dam is red prove it? It's like, what do you think there is? That's what I'm asking.
Okay, sorry. I have to think about that. It's a good question. Okay, but Lamaisa, now, this is a very complicated thing nowadays. Those of us who are through Weitzman know what makes it a little complicated, and we'll point out in a moment. But let's point out some of the colors that are controversial. How about, like anything reddish is Pashat. How about something blackish? Right? Like, what if it's not black? Right? The Gemara says in the old days they used to have vikias. This black, real black, like ink. But not black like other things that are not as black. So nowadays, what if something is like a dark gray? It's close to black, but it's not black. What do you think the Mechaber would say? Are we machmer on anything that any shade of black or only full black? He's a dyke in the Shulchan Aruch. What?
Just black.
You just full black. Okay, what does Monty say?
It's pink kolmar.
Yeah, he says kolmar adom. What does he say? So kolmar, any type of red, and how does he define any? Beinim kea, beinim amok, whether light or deep. V'chein kolmar shachar. So just take the parallel. Any type of red, whether light or dark, and likewise any type of black. He doesn't say v'chein shachar. V'chein mar shachar. He says v'chein kolmar shachar.
He goes to kolmar adom o shachar, beinim o
kolmar. Okay, fair enough. But still, the extra word kol, you know, I can't think of any reason why he put it in, except for saying, except for trying to tell us. Now, this, the truth is, this is somewhat controversial. There are those who are mekel. Not, I don't think it's on the page, but there's a Shelos Yabetz and Amlushe Tara who are mekel on this. But all the Achronim agree with this view from the Machaber that.
Deha,
right?
You have a bag that got dirty type of...
No, give me a second. So, you got the board, right?
Yeah.
So let's just put some colors here. So, I don't mean to actually draw the colors. I only have four colors. And they're all very clear what they are. Green and blue are covered, and black and red are covered. But what about, what about a dark gray? So there is, it's not in here, but the Shelitz Yab, it's not on the page, and the Sefer called Malbushe Tara say Mutter, but the Mashmos of the Machaber and all the Achronim say Aser. That's Pashut. However, then Chesky pointed out, a Beis Yosef, which is also quoted in the name of the Beis Yosef, in the second Shach. Shach Sukkot Beis says, even that love and the Gabriel, the Kamar Begin Lamash, novel of Avaksha, Hucha Lev Nuso, Mutter, Dain Shachurus Kazu, Babi Mariat Nunes. He says, even if it's not white, it's like something white that got a little dirty with black. It's a light gray. If it's a light gray, then that's okay. That's not considered on the black spectrum. A light red would be a problem. But a light gray, that doesn't come from black. The Beis Yosef just thinks that's a double pashut. So if you have a light gray, says the Beis Yosef and the Shach, that's mutter. That's not something that could be a form of red.
It doesn't seem like they're talking about something that's off-white. They're almost talking about as if there was like a mixture. I mean, there was something white, we know that's something black.
Right, so it's not clear exactly what they're talking about, because he does call it shachruris, which caused me to think he might be talking even about a light gray.
Yeah, meaning, I feel like...
You could say it's coming out of off-white, it just means darker, darkness.
Like, I'm not sure if it's something that inherently was originally off-white, as much as something that we suspect that some black has been mixed in, which feels that, like, black itself is not what we're worried about. If it's something that we assume could have been originally black and was mixed in, we're okay with that, which makes me feel like they would say the same thing for dark gray.
Okay, it's hard to tell because they don't really explain their reasoning. So what's their reasoning? Shachuris, because ain't shachuris because they're above merit mumis. This kind of shade of blackness does not come from red.
For me,
okay, but
why? Assume that like there are blacks that are worried that this black is something that really is just an off red, that's just a darker red. But there are blacks that you assume are just completely
right. But where to draw the line? Where to draw the line? I mean, I don't think we can prove Misfar. I think you just have to go with Poskim.
So you just draw the line.
Yeah.
Where do we draw that line?
Okay. Lemaisa. The real answer is that it doesn't really happen anyway. I mean, you don't really get light grays, which again might be a riot for you. He's not talking about light gray. He's talking about off-white. You don't really get light grays. You don't really get medium grays. Like you only get blacks or no. You only get shades of black really. So therefore, any shade of black is really a problem. It doesn't really come out much. Now, I'll point out one interesting thing. What about yarok? What kind of yarok? What about, what's wax? Wax, what do you say, wax and, what do you say here? Wax and gold. Okay, wax is a little gold, right? What about gold? So the Mechaber and the Poskim say it's mutter.
Wax is light gold. It looks like a different color than it was like also.
Yeah, it was, but it's okay. It's fine.
Beige.
It's not beige. Wax is not beige.
You're thinking like Hanukkah gold. Isn't it like white?
No, Hanukkah candles come in like the whole
joking.
Color.
I'm joking.
I mean like these wax, like a beehive.
No,
you never saw a beehive?
Maybe like white gold,
but other wax that come from like animal fats are closer to
no, but he means beeswax. Wax doesn't actually come from animal fats. It's not actually wax.
I mean, just trying to...
Yeah, but he means actual beeswax when he says shava.
Okay.
So beeswax is pretty similar to gold, no? You're looking on the internet?
Trying to find. I think it's dark yellow.
Yeah, it's a dark yellow. Gold, you know, yeah, it's really a yellowish brown, right? What about a... yellowish brown... Right, so the Mechaber and the mainstream poskim say that it's mutter. This is what we just read right here in the Mechaber, right? but who says Zasser? No, the true the who says Zasser? The Shlach quoting the Maharshal. That's in the second Pesachei Tshuva and in everyone else, right? And they're quoting the Maharam Mitz, right? So, the Shlach, according to Maharshal, according to Myra Mintz, says, right, Shlach, b'shem Maharshal, b'shem Myra Mintz, say it's Aser. And here's a big discussion in the Achronim, should a Baal Nefesh be Machber on this or not? And some Achronim say, a Baal Nefesh should be Machmer. And this Rav Moshe has an interesting shita. There are some compromises. Rav Moshe says, Machmirim Begimel Yamim Rishonim Shel Shivanikiyim. It's a famous shita of Rav Moshe that were Machmer on gold, you know, for the first 3 days of Shivanikiyim. Are more chumra because he assumes it would be 3 days to be b'cheskas tara. Okay, that's a big chumra. And there are other compromises, such as the Sidri Tara says, Bal nefesh yachmir la'atzmo lefira osa'inyan. Lefira osa'inyan is very vague. I think lefira osa'inyan, I don't think he means like based on like how hard it is to be machmir. I think he, which might also be true, I think he means based on like whether it seems like it's like part of a period or not. But says the Sidri Tara, another pshara, Bal nefesh yachmir la'atzmo lefi ra'osa inyan, in accordance with the big picture. Lemaisa, the minhag olam nowadays, is that, I think even the lower side, is that we're mekel. The minhag olam nowadays is that we're mekel, legamre, and we just say mutter, and even the bali nefesh are not machmir. On you know yellowish brownish mucus. The real controversy, of course, the real action that makes everything complicated is what color?
Brown.
What about brown? Now here is something a little tricky, meaning the poskim discussed gold and wax. The poskim discussed shades of black. The poskim never discussed brown. No, the Rishonim. The Rishonim never discussed brown, right? There is no brown. There's no brown in the Torah. There's no brown in the Tanakh. There's no brown in Shas. Brown is just missing. Now, I mean, people have written studies showing that colors are notoriously difficult to define using a regular language vocabulary, meaning different cultures have very different ideas about what's the same color as what. Like, we think there's something objective about, like, oh, this is a shade of that, but this is clearly a different color, and there's nothing objective about it whatsoever. If you go to, like, all the different cultures in Fiji and the Amazon and wherever, and the, you know, Alaska, you'll see that every culture has a totally different idea of what color is part of what other color, and what is it. Like, we think orange is, like, kind of red, and, you know, whatever, and, like, green is related to blue and whatever, and other cultures have just totally different ideas. is very subjective. So it's very hard to go like thousands of years ago and figure out, like, where did brown fit in? Obviously, they had brown things in the time of Chazal, right? Like, I don't think, there were brown things in the world. So what, when they wanted to tell their friend that they saw a brown thing, what did they say? So there are actually three options. There are three possibilities, right? There are actually three possibilities. What Chazal called brown. What are the three possibilities? What could they have called brown? What would they have called it? Yes.
Red, black, gold.
Exactly. It could be red, it could be black, or it could be yellow, right?
And pretty similar to what we would have done also.
Yarok, Shachar, and Adam. Right? We have no idea. I mean, there's no way to prove, like, no archaeologist can discover. Forget about Chazal, even in the Tanakh. When Avram Avinu saw something brown and he went home to Sarai Imenu, would he have told her he saw something Adam? Would he have told her he saw something Shachar? Or would he have told her he saw something Yarok? Right? Meaning maybe brown, that's Bechlal gold. After all, there's dark gold and dark wax, and that's brown. Or maybe, you know, brown is brown a shade of yellow? Is brown a shade of red? Or is brown a shade of black? There's no way to know. As a matter of fact, this is a big discussion. We're not getting into it now. You know, if a cow was brown, would it be a paraduma?
Maybe a lot less rare.
So there are those who say that a brown cow is a paraduma. The reason it's rare is because all the brown cows nowadays have at least two hairs of a different color. And it's rare to not have two hairs of a different color.
We assume it's connected to a primary color. Is that why?
Because we assume it has. They have to have a word for it, right?
But I'm saying, like, there are...
In modern Hebrew, it's called, but they didn't have that word.
Not every color could be related.
No,
I mean, just the fact that they didn't talk about it, they didn't see it as Maros, meaning they must have saw it as Maros, which color...
No, forget about Maros. Just in everyday life, what would they have called it? Right? They have to have a word for it. I mean, it can't be that there's, like, a color that's there's a gazillion things in the world, and that they never used a word for that ever in Shas or in Tanakh. Right? So it must have been a shade of something. But what do they call it a shade of? And there's no way to objectively figure this out because it's all cultural. So is it a shade of...
There's like nothing in Tanakh where something that we know for sure is red that it calls it... Well, I guess there's no word for brown. But in any case, sorry, let me wrap this. Something that we know for sure is brown that they call red.
Not that I know of. Meaning there might be things that could have been brown, but not that we know it for sure.
Sure.
Anyway, this is a mystery, right? So is a paraduma brown or not? You know, there are those who want to theorize that a paraduma is brown, not red. Because brown is a shade of red. Okay, I have no idea. Anyway, I have no idea how to figure any of these things out. Lemaisa, of course, as you can see, two of these three possibilities are Lechomra and one is Lekula. If it's a shade of red, then it's mamash a shade of red. Now, you would think, why don't you just find the four shades of red that Chazal talked about and, like, check if any of them are brownish. But, and then at least in Daraisa you can figure out the answer. But the problem is that we lost our vikiyas and what these things are. Like, oh, you have to, one of the shades is you mix water and earth for a certain place. Like, we don't have that place anymore. And even if we did, I'm sure the earth has changed. So it's tricky. You know, and even the crocus, like, you know, I don't know. I have no idea how our carcone looks, but our carcone could be a slightly different shade than their carcone. You know, these are the kind of things that change in 2,000 years. So it's tricky. Anyway, Lemaisa said this is a big mystery, and no one knows for sure what brown is. Is it a shade of red? Is it a shade of black? Or is it a shade of yellow? And nafka mina would be if it's a shade of red or black, it's aser. If the shade of yellow, then it is mutter. So the Pisrei Tshuva only brings down a couple poskim. And the Darkei Tshuva here, for some reason, the Pisrei Tshuva does not bring down a million poskim and talk about every possible color. But if you look at the Darkei Tshuva here, which is like an expanded version of Pisrei Tshuva, it's a separate book, we have in the Shelf of Expanders, written by the Mudkacher Rebbe, I don't know exactly which number. He brings down a lot of poskim about this, and he brings down basically a machlokas about this. there are poskim who say it's also like the Sifsei Chacham, which I think is in the back of some of these, and the Beis Shlomo, and the Lechem Simla. He does bring down Lechem Simla. Lechem Simla, by the way, is a book in the Hosnida written by the Baal Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. So, the Sifsei Chacham, okay, these are not such famous books, I know. The Lechem Simla is more famous because some people use it as like a handbook for practical psach, and the same people use Kitzur Shulchan Aruch for Aruch Hayim, use the Lechem Simla. And the Beis Shlomo, and the Lechem Simla said Aser. However, if you read the Pesachei Tshuva here, you only get one opinion, right? Pesachei Tshuva says, doesn't think there's more than one opinion, he says, in Sifkat and Aleph, look in the Sidrei Tara and the Shelet Yavetz. He says, the Sidrei Tara says, I found this written. And he says, and I forget where he found it written. It's in the Shelet Yavetz. I looked around and I found the Shelet Yavetz. They say, Pashut, that it is Mutter. And likewise, the Gilyan Maharsha says, Dam Yorok Brown, says the Yorok called Brown is perfectly Mutter. I mean, it's interesting, yeah. Once it's the Yorok called Brown, then it's perfectly Mutter. But Dam Yorok Brown, you know, with the little chopstick shows the foreign word, is Mutter. Okay, that's the question. If it's Dam Yorok Brown, it's Mutter. Adam Brown, that's Usher. He also thinks that the Rapush, the mother of the Chachmas Adam, is also Makel. The Igros Moshe is also Makel. Obviously, he wouldn't be Makel the first 3 days, but he's Makel the Ikaron. And the Ur HaShulchan also. So here we have the Sidrei Tara, the Shelas Yavetz, and really the majority of Achronim. Who else did I mention? The Gilyan Maharsha. Again, not the Maharsha from the Gemara, the Gilyan Maharsha, the son of Rabbi Yehuda Iger. And the Chachmas Adam, and the Igros Moshe. And the Aruch HaShulchan all say it's Mutter, and that's the majority opinion in the Achronim that it's Mutter. And the Aruch HaShulchan, if you look right here, he even says Chalila to be Machmir. You notice that? Chalila to be Machmir, says the Aruch HaShulchan. Okay, if the Aruch HaShulchan says Chalila to be Machmir, then we paskin that Brown is Mutter. Yoni.
What does it mean when it says Hakadah?
He says what? Oh, okay, give me a second. Good. So now the question is just, what does brown mean? So they have a very clear definition of brown. They say brown is the color of two things, which I think actually even nowadays are the same color. What is brown the color of? Chestnut peels, right? You ever eat chestnuts?
It's nice brown.
And coffee. And now, what do they mean by coffee? I don't think they mean like coffee after you brew it with milk, right? So they mean coffee grounds. Or black coffee, which is really brown. So brown, and I think that's, you were asking me about the word hot cafe?
Coffee, I guess.
Coffee, yeah, coffee. Mashka have coffee. Some of them write coffee. Okay, but it's coffee. So coffee and chestnuts. That's brown.
Lines or two options?
No, two options. Right, not chestnut. I mean, I'm sure it's very good chestnut flavored coffee. Why not? But all right, Shua disagrees. Well, I'm saying that I'm not a maven anyway.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm on my madriga of understanding of coffee is taster's choice. But okay, so brown. But of course, the tricky part is, and that's what becomes tricky. If not for brown, really, Maris would be Pasha nowadays. Okay, fine. Gold and yellow and blue and green, not that blue and green happen, are Mutter. White is Mutter. Grays really don't happen except for, like, just shades of black. Shades of black and shades of red are Usher. It's the brown that's the killer, because once we pass in brown is Mutter, but then what's the difference between brown and red? After all, you know, what color is this? It's a reddish brown, right?
Rusty brown.
It's a rusty brown, exactly. It's rusty, right? Okay. On the other hand, I think this is not rusty at all. This is brown like the chestnuts and the coffee, no? This is a reddish brown, right? But this, this is even a lighter brown. This is, so that's why nowadays people do shemush. Even though it's funny because, like, The whole point is that you shouldn't need Shemush to know how to pass in colors nowadays, because that was in the days of the Tanayim. But nowadays, we answer anything that has any red in it, and therefore it's no problem. The tricky part is that nowadays we just like, you know, first fruit was like very confusing, only certain four shades of red and a certain shade of black. And then that was the Tanayim. Then the Amoraim came around, and the Gaon Rishonim said, make it very simple. Anything that has any reddish in it whatsoever, let's say no to Ladbumis, anything that has any leaning towards red is usher. And then nowadays we got confused again because we don't know how to draw the line between a brown that leans towards red, a brown that has reddishness, and a brown that doesn't have reddishness. So that's why people do training nowadays to figure out the difference between a brown that has reddishness and a brown that doesn't have reddishness. You know, it's not all as easy as these far.
I don't have a problem with, like, is this true, but do we like believe we have a sword going back 1,000 years as to what's considered red and what's considered red?
And look, it depends what you mean by a Masorah going back thousands of years, or till, you know, after the time when we stopped seeing the Maros of the Tanoim and, you know, Midoraisa. But maybe we do. I think you have to be Mechalik, you know, this is Navi Ezri who discusses this in terms of the Girsa in Chasiris, Fusiris, and Chumash. Between the historical question of how can we prove historically whether what I learned from my Rebbe is the exact same thing that 1,000 years ago his 1,500 Rebbe learned from his Rebbe, that I have no idea. But the halachic question of is there an unbroken chain of Masorah of people who paskin and then taught their Talmud to paskin, taught their Talmud to paskin, taught their Talmud to paskin, and there is. So I think we do have an unbroken chain of Masorah. Again, if you tell me, can I historically prove that it never evolved or got mistakes, etc.? Of course you can, but we follow our Masorah.
Yeah. But like what Rebbe alluded to, doesn't the fact that like they seemingly simplified everything by saying everything is like not a problem indicate that brown should be a problem? Because like if there's one that are clear, like I don't know that.
That's a good taina.
Like,
you're right. It's a good taina. You could say the fact they simplified things proves that nothing should be complicated, and if nothing should be complicated, then brown should be ulcer, because otherwise it's complicated.
Right. Unless it makes it absolutely not red.
It's a good taina, so you could agree with the Sifsei Chacham and Beis Shlomo and Alechem Asimla. It's a good taina, but the way out of that taina, even though you'll say it's a little bit dochak, is that really it was exceedingly simple. When they first simplified it, it was so simple it was child's play. Just then there was a Yerida, now it's complicated.
But why would there, I mean, I don't know, if the bad news for me, people can argue or something that's reddish.
Okay, so there's a Yerida and the Masorah and the Doros, whatever it was. And what used to be obvious is no longer obvious.
Even though it's not a Yerida, it's not a lot of it.
Yeah.
It's like intuitive.
Yeah, I hear the Tainan. Not sure. Sorry. Okay, but this is, you know, most of the work nowadays. People go to Weitzman, for example, is part of that is about Makas and Flias and things from the Bezayan. But the most of what people do when they talk about Shemush is how to tell the difference between brown and red or between brown and black, right? How to tell the difference between brown and red or brown and black, which it can be subtle, and I hear Chesky's Taina. You know, if you want to additionally say that, you know, it must be that brown is a shade of red, or you could say it must be brown is a shade of black because when red oxidizes, it becomes brown, and maybe that's Lucca. Okay, I don't know who's right. But our Masorah is that all the poskim nowadays, you know, all, you know, quotation marks, meaning substantially all, say that brown is mutter.
Well, just as much as we could say that they thought brown was so simply red and black, we also say brown was so simply yellow.
Yeah.
So, like, it could be so pushed and simple and
yeah, Kansky just said, so why is it hard to tell the difference?
You know, one that tend towards red, like, everyone intuitively sees like that. Like, that Rabbah was like sort of red, sort of brown. Like,
we don't know what brown was to them.
No, Chesky's taina is that it seems to be that when they stopped looking at the four shades, nothing was complicated anymore. So why nowadays is it complicated? Must be that we messed up and we made a mistake about brown. That's what Chesky's taina is. Okay.
I think it's just our, it could be that it's just our
just our
understanding of brown is. Like maybe the brown was just like that.
Orange.
Oh, what about orange? Good question. There are some Satmar, Poskim, or Makel and Orange. First of all, Orange doesn't really happen a lot. But there's some Saturn post-Noah Mako on orange, but the mainstream post-Noah Mako on orange and pink. And certainly on pink. Orange and pink. So, you know, there are, you know, if you're a Saturn or Chassid, then I don't know. Then you have to check what that Masorah is. They have very Mako Masorahs in these things. But we assume that orange is a problem, and pink is certainly a problem. That's clearly a shade of red. Okay, good question. Now, that is in terms of colors. There's some other issues that come up. There's some other issues that also come up in the postgame here. So what are the other issues that come up in the postgame besides colors? Two are brought up, I believe, in the first Taz. Says the Taz, he quotes a Bach, a strange Bach. I'm not sure I can explain the physics behind this Bach. The Bach says that even though we said against that funny Trumas Adeshen that even a thick white is mutter, even though that's consistency of blood is mutter, Bach says there's only if she didn't take a bath. If she took a bath and then finds a thick white, oh, that's obviously red blood that just got cleaned in the bath and turned white. Okay, in our modern day science, I don't know how red blood can get cleaned in the bath and turned white, and neither do all the Akron. I mean, it's not just my modern day science that I understand the Bach. None of the Akronim understood the Bach, and Mehmet the Taz, his own son-in-law, uses harsh language, dvarim to mu him heim. You know, these are very strange things. So Lemaisa, we are not choshesh for that. No one's choshesh for that Bach. You know, I don't know exactly what he meant, but no one's choshesh for that Bach. So if you have a case of, you know, what's the case of white with consistency of blood? So in all cases, we have this very strange Trumas Adeshen quoted in the Yesh Machmirin, right? That he quotes a Chumrah, right? There's Yesh Machmirim, but the Mechaber and the Ramah and all the Poskim say Mutter. In a case of after a bath, the Bach says Aser, but the Taz and the Poskim say Mutter, and we don't worry about that Bach. Okay, that's not such a hard one.
Wouldn't the Bach be relevant, though, just in terms of saying that if you see something that right now it looks like it's brown or it looks like it's red, but you know, but you think that it's something that was red initially, then the Bach would also say that that would be a problem?
And that would be tricky because that would go against the rule of Ein L'Chacham Ela Ma She'ein Rose, right?
The Bach also is the one that holds about waiting to see if something dries, and it seems to be a bit successful.
Correct, but doesn't he have to admit that somewhat to the Gemara, meaning the Gemara has to mean at least one direction, so Taylor says you have to wait till later. Ein L'Chacham Ma She'ein Rose means you still have to worry about later, but then it at least has to mean you don't have to worry about earlier. But if you have to worry about earlier and later, then what does it mean in the Chacham El Mashi and Rose? So I think what he would say is this. In the Chacham El Mashi and Rose is that if what you see now looks like it was never red, you don't have to second guess yourself. But he has a very limited idea of in the Chacham El Mashi and Rose. It doesn't mean you don't have to care what color it looks like it was or will be. It just means that you don't have to care that you don't have to be choshesh you're making a mistake. Right, that's a very limited Ein L'Chacham Elama She'ein of a very limited Ein L'Chacham Elama She'ein of Ro'os. Okay, so that's a very, very good point. What about, or Ein L'Dayin Elama She'ein of Ro'os, what's this Machlokas? The Machlokas is, what does it mean? Well, okay, the truth is we can reject the Bach for two reasons, right? Either because in the Chedayin Elama She'ein of Ro'os, or just because he's wrong about what happens to blood in the bath. Okay, the more controversial part is the other Chumr the Bach. One Chumr the Bach is going backwards. The Bach goes backwards and says, white after a bath was probably red, or possibly red, at least 50 suffix red. Okay, that's very strange. We probably reject the Bach for two reasons. Number one, we don't care what it might have been. We only care what it looks like now. And number two, no, red doesn't actually get hanging in the bath.
Washed away the red blood cells.
What?
You washed away the
red blood and left the white blood cells. Okay, I'm pretty sure it doesn't work that way.
Nobody thinks it might have to do with like soap. To get it to like get
I was doing the same thing with the Taz. If it's his, right, how closely related and how close in time would they be to have lost this type of soap?
No, I mean, like, just everybody's saying, like, blood doesn't change in water, which is true. But, like, maybe there's some color.
I mean, if there was some sort of, like, dyeing agent that might have been used in baths in those times,
right.
That would be
I hear the time. I don't know.
I just thought they were assuming just, like,
you say maybe
water.
The Bach means,
like,
in our baths, we, the bubble bath we use, you know, sticks the blood and makes it white. Okay, F, sure. You know, who knows? Maybe he was even right. Who knows? You know? It's a good question. it's a good question. And I don't know. But Lemaisa, and the Taz doesn't seem to understand that way, because he seems to understand that if the Bach was right, he was right even in time of the Gemara. Okay. The other big chumra of the Bach is, says the Bach, what about, and here, what are we basically saying? The Bach says that and there is some Lushitas here, have to worry about what it used to look like. And again, the other poskin, this big discussion in the Achronim, is that, and he brings a good proof. What's his good proof? His good proof is that after all, black is osur because it used to be red. So white after bath is also osur because it used to be red. So Lemaisa, the answer to him is is either, well, maybe you're right fundamentally, but doesn't turn white in the bath, or that, meaning what the Taz seems to say is that, oh, well, red turns to black, but it doesn't turn to white. You could also say, and this is what some of the Achronim say, that no, black is actually considered a kind of red, but white can't be considered a kind of red. So how do we get at his proof? His proof is black, and mainstream poskim would answer one of two things. Either number one, I'm trying to remember, I think this is in the Aruch HaShulchan, but I don't remember for sure, okay, then I don't want to say. One, that the Metzios, red, becomes black. And this is what the Taz says. But doesn't become white. Like, you're right, we do have to worry what it used to look like, but it doesn't happen. In which case, Ein Dinah Lo, doesn't mean, it just means we don't have to worry about mistakes. Or, number two, which I think I saw in the Aruch HaShulchan, but I'm not going to put on the board because I don't remember for sure, is that black can be considered a type of red. But white can't. It's not that we were what it used to look like, because that black itself is red. And in which case, you'll say, Ein L'dayim Meshul Ein Rose is Mamish. Right? So, either we say, you're right, we do have to worry if something used to be red. But, well, red doesn't turn to white, you got your Metzius wrong. Or, I'll be din. It's not that. It's not that we worry about something that used to be red. It's only also if it's now red. But black is considered a kind of red, and that's just a super dark red. While white can't be considered a kind of red. Okay, you have to give one of those answers. But Lemaisa, no one cares about the, no one's closer for the Bach here. The more interesting question is, what about the next Chumra of the Bach? Says the Bach, what's the Chumra of the Bach? You always have to save a Mari Tahor until it dries, because what happens sometimes? Yimsa Adam Miktsosav, because it gets red at the edge. It might turn red at the edge. Meaning this really happens. Right? If you have a Mari Tahar, it could turn red at the edge. And therefore, you always have to save it until it dries. That's the big chumra of the Bach. Anytime a woman comes with any kind of Mare that's fresh, you can't paskin until you let it dry, because you're afraid maybe it'll turn red. Okay, does anyone agree with the Bach about this? Not really. I mean, I'm sure someone does. But really, no one really agrees with the Bach about this. The Taz says, kasha, doesn't make any sense. The Rav Tumuim again. The Shach says, ain't no again came. The Pisnei Tshuva quotes in the Achronim, the Taras HaShlamim, the Sidri Tara. Everyone says, the Shach and the Taz and all the Poskim, they disagree. What? I don't think so. Let's see. This is in the Pesukei Tshuva Gimel. Minchas Yaakov and Sidri Tara also disagreed with the Bach, and the Chacham Tzvi also disagreed with the Bach, and the Shos Yaakov disagreed with the Chacham Tzvi, but that doesn't mean he agreed with the Bach. And the Chavos Das agreed with the Chacham Tzvi, and the Shelitz Yavetz is not sure if he agrees with the Chacham Tzvi, but that doesn't mean he agrees with the Bach. Okay, let me explain more, and then you'll see why it doesn't mean I agree with the Bach. I realize I have to explain one more thing.
What's the story why you don't have to be concerned what the color was or will be?
Okay, great question. What's the svara that... the truth is that, let me say that a little better. Not being worried about what this color was is... is actually not such a, like, why should you not have to worry about the color was, is a harder svara. You know what, 1 second. Because obviously you should have to worry what the svara was, right? If Eliona came to you and told you that this used to be red, then the Choresh is Tveya, right?
Well, maybe it has to do with the fact that you have to see it in order to be Tameh Nezer as well?
I don't think so. Anyway, so we're Re'iyah. So then I realized that I'm just going to say, it doesn't mean that we don't care what it was. It just means that we don't assume that it was different. In which case, basically, then I'm going to end up saying the same thing, just in two different words. So you're right. Let's say a little better. The proof is black. So what's the answer? The answer is... we would worry if we knew it was probably red earlier, but red doesn't turn into white. Okay.
So the Lamaisa,
if you knew that it used to be red, Lahore, you'd have to be Machmer. Except for the fact that Ein Ladayin El Shein of Roos, meaning you don't have to be Choshesh Minastam that it was red, unless you have a Masor from Chazal to be Choshesh. Let's say I see something and I say, maybe this used to be red, but maybe it didn't.
So if there's a Tzad L'Heter, we can rely on that Heter, but if we know it was red, even though it doesn't look red now.
Yeah, I think so, because how could it be? Meaning when it came out of her body, it was red. So how could you possibly make them? It's just that we have a rule of Ein Ladayin Ela Meshe'ein of Roos, which tells us that we don't have to worry about things for no reason. Right? So that's white with consistency of blood. What if it's just, we would know if it was probably red earlier, but red doesn't turn into white. And, yes? Okay, good question. So, one second. Let's just... let's take a different case. We'll come back to this Bach. Let's go back to the past. Forget about the Bach in the future. What if you... What if you see a brown and maybe it used to be red? Then we use the rule of mutter, and this is the rule of ein lo ledayan ella ma she'einav ro'ot. Meaning, if you see something now, if you know it used to be different, that's one thing. But if you see something now, then you don't, if you see something now, then you don't have to suspect that it was different earlier. What you see now, the chazak of what you see now beats the suspicion that it was different earlier. Black is different. There we have a Masorah from Chazal. It's not just a suspicion. Okay, what if, this is a very tricky case. Mati, you're the one who just asked?
Yeah.
And this actually happens sometimes. What if the woman says it was redder earlier? Then, if she's sure that it was a problematic color earlier, then you have to be macher. Because she's the dying machine of Rose, you know, she saw it. She's also, you know. But if she's, maybe she doesn't really, not really sure that she knows what she's talking about, then you don't have to be choshesh. So you have to see how specific, how much she really knows.
Why'd she come if she knows
us? What?
Why'd she come in the first position?
That's the question, meaning if she really saw something that, you know, really she described to you as problematic and yeah, she just asked Kastan, you know, she wasn't sure or whatever, then you have to go with what she said. If she really doesn't know what she's talking about, you know, she just stopped getting nervous. Like a lot of women are nervous, like people of Yerushalayim, so they're always nervous about everything. Oh, but, you know, I think maybe it used to be redder. You know, like, people just are nervous about things. If she's just nervous, and she doesn't really know what she's talking about, then you don't have to worry. But if she, you know, even without the issue of lighting, which we have to get into, but if she really knows that it used to be red, then the rabbi's eyes don't have more power than the woman's eyes. You know, the only difference is if the woman doesn't really know, then her eyes don't count. But if she does know, then it would be a problem. Okay, so then, and this is very subtle, but my experience is that most women don't really know. Like, they're just nervous. It's just a healthy Yiras Shamayim being expressed as nervousness. And then, so in 90% of the cases, a woman says, oh, but it used to be redder. She really doesn't mean it. She just thinks maybe, whatever. You know, a maybe is not multi midei vaday. Ein lo dayan olam she'einav ro'ot, even if someone says maybe, I'm not sure. If she really knows, then taka, you have to assert. But 90% of the cases, really not a problem. Okay, as long as we're talking about ein lo dayan she'einav ro'ot, let's go to the first piece of tshuva, and then we'll come back to this bach. If you'll excuse me. Let's go back to this first Pesach Tshuva, who discusses a case similar to the Gemara. Rebbe saw a kesem at night. Obviously, at night means the candlelight, right? He doesn't see in the dark. He's not Superman, so it means he saw a kesem by candlelight, but not physically. He saw a kesem by candlelight. And, you know, it's a truism, by the way, that different lights make things different colors. Right? Nowadays, modern scientists, I mean, scientists don't actually care that much, but photographers and videographers care very, very much. Right? I mean, videographers are, you know, I don't think like an actual scientist, like, cares, like, you know, who cares exactly what shade something is. You know, but in movies and photographs, this is a very important thing. And even nowadays, you could tell when you go shopping for fluorescent light bulbs, you know they come in different colors, right? Daylight, warm white, cool white, whatever, all these different colors. I don't mean different colors like blue-green. I mean different colors that all look white, but they're all slightly different whites. And what's the difference? They're different colors. It doesn't mean they're just different colors if you look at it. Means they make everything look like a different color. there's actually a way that people measure this in the industry. It's called color temperature. Color temperature just means if you take like a certain filament, like whatever temperature you get it to, it emits different kinds of radiation and different shades of light. So they can measure everything, like they have this standard thing that however high you turn it up, it emits different lights. And then they can measure every other light in the world, what temperature it would be on that standard filament. And the different temperatures make things look different colors. In general, the lower temperatures make things look redder. They have more red light that reflects. And, you know, something of black body radiation, any physicists here? Yeah, I don't really know how this works, but there's some law of physics that when you agitate the molecules, making them hot, different types of molecules, whatever, will give off different shades of light, different wavelengths of light. Lower temperatures are generally redder. Lower temperatures are generally redder. Higher temperatures are generally less red. So, for example, candles are like the lowest temperature. They're only like 1900 degrees. Which means candles make things look redder. Now, I mean, there are different candles also. I don't know, you know. And incandescent bulbs are like around 2500 to 3000. You know, they also make things look fairly red. And then halogen is like also makes it look pretty red. So some fluorescent colors are already in the 3000s to 4000s. But if you're talking about sunlight during the day, you know, that's already in the 4,000, 5,000, 6,000s, you know, even with a shade, which is how we learned they used to see Mars Dahmen, it's still probably around 6,000 in the middle of the day. So basically what we see here is that sunlight is a lot less red than most of our light sources. And especially, I prefer warm white fluorescence. What do you guys buy when you go to the store? Never bought fluorescence?
Sunlight.
You like sunlight. Okay, so sunlight fluorescents are not so... sunlight fluorescents are not very red at all.
They're
like sunlight. What?
Yeah, the ones in our apartment were very yellow, so I got new ones. I got sunlight that would be white. They're super white.
Yeah. So I always buy warm white, and warm white is more reddish. It's like the light bulbs I grew up with, incandescent bulbs, and more like candles. Anyway, this really does make a difference. I mean, this whole thing that depends what light source you use to look at it is really scientifically makes a difference. Like, it all looks like light to us, but someone in the industry can tell you exactly how much red there is and how much red there isn't and put a number on it. So by different light sources, things will look different. That's why, let's just go for a second to the question of how do you see Maros Damim. There's a discussion of this in the first Torah Sashlamim. It says, the Gemara says, how do you have to judge Maros Damim? You have to use shaded sunlight, right? Like, go to the sunlight, but create some shade and look at the shade of the sunlight. That's the right kind of light that you use. That's like the objective light that Chazal defined things by, shaded sunlight. Says the Torah Sashlamim. Oh, you like go out into the sun, and then you like put your hand and make shade, and then you look at it. Not in the bright sunlight. In the bright sunlight, you won't be able to see anything. Right? So what you do is, you just like, you block. You stand by pillars, or you just put like block the sunlight with your body or with your hand or something. Like the shade of a sunlit day. That's the proper light. Says the Torah Sashlamim that since nowadays we don't distinguish between the four shades of red, that's what he says here, then you can use any light you want. Okay, that's controversial. We'll see the Ramah later on in Kuf Tzadi Vav. Says that you should really lechatchila still use shaded sunlight, and that's what the Aruch HaShulchan paskins here. He paskins that nowadays, since we're not medaktik in the colors of the derice of the four shades, but we still do medaktik, therefore nowadays the accepted halacha is a compromise. You should lechatchila make an effort to use shaded sunlight, but if you're stuck, you can use any light. But I would just add, like, if you're stuck and use any light, you're going to end up being more macher than you need to be, because it's going to like introduce red that's not, I mean, there's also the objective, but that's not there according to the objective standard that Chazal told us. So you can use an incandescent bulb or a candle if you want, but you're going to end up being more macher than you need to be. So I guess if you're stuck, maybe it's good to use a daylight fluorescent. maybe I should buy one. Anyway, halach lemaisa nowadays, the meaning of poskim is that they're different. Now, some people are knowing, like the Torah Shlomim here, the first Torah Shlomim, that he says, Zelos and a Torah, 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 Misha, Domin, Tmein, Beish, Sulova, Indoshis, might have a kios, Chazul, Thomas, Kolshish, Mamari, Edo. Anything with any red in it, we're Matami. Venerly, Tom Zelo, Hetta, Torp, Machaber, Katie, Naga, Chachmas, Lurus, Dom, Nida, the Hainim, Rome, Dom, Balai, Lovelas, Sel, Beodol, Adam, Kuburb, Sofer, Kalayat, Hinkos, Ramam, etc. He says, why did the Torah and the Machaber never say what kind of light you have to use? Ah, because nowadays you can use any light. Mishum de Lididan, Ainan Torah, Elamari, Love of the Yor, because Ainan Torah, King of the Dictor, Kate, Kimikal, Yochel, Hafkin, Kolzeth, Ochem, Chol, Inish, Yurza, Chacham, Yochel, Lurus, Kilatar, Latam, okay, the Hinkos, Rabbi, Asag, was not exactly that, but we're not getting to the right now. Anyway, there are those, I know some rabbis who are no hate like the Torah Sashlamim, that they just lechachila use any light source they want, but the mainstream minhag is like the Ruch HaShochan says here, and based on the Ramah in Kof Tzadivav, which we'll get to, is that lechachila you should use shaded sunlight, just like in the old days. But nowadays, since we're not medactic in the four shades, if you're stuck, you can use, you can use artificial light. But that's only if you're stuck. Lechachila, you should use shaded sunlight. Generally, if someone brings me a mirror at night, I say I'll posket it in the morning. Unless they're in a rush. Like, let's say it's mikvah night. You can't wait till the morning. Okay, then if I'm stuck, I'll posket it at night. But lechachila, I try to wait till the morning. Like the Aruch HaShulchan says here, and like the Ramah and some Kutzari Bab against the Torah Shlomo.
Shouldn't it also matter like how close you hold it to the light? Isn't like that light obviously like when they talked about a candle, did he mean like that? Like it was like right next to it? Like I'm trying to ask is that even if it's a reddish type of light, does it matter that if you're very, very close to that make it more white?
I'm not sure. I don't think so. I don't think so, but I'm not a physicist.
Does it matter how much the light is? When you go past something right before Shkia, is that still?
So it actually the color temperature is different right before Shkia. It's redder right before Shkia, but still you know, I mean, depends on right before, but still, it's generally, you know, in the ballpark.
How did we explain the story with Rebbe again?
Okay, we didn't get to Rebbe yet. Okay. No. Anyway, so that's just a side point. Let me point out about what kind of light source do you use? Right, so that's why, but just also point out, since generally we don't like to be machber for no reason, nowadays I'm a sore for my willing. We try to avoid being machber and halchas neder for no reason nowadays. Could be in old days. But okay, he always says, especially nowadays, trying to avoid being machber unnecessarily. So therefore, like, you know, it's the besides the fact that Chazal told you to use sunlight, the additional reason is that if you use anything but a daylight, anything except for Chesky's daylight fluorescent bulbs, then you're going to end up being more machber. And I've seen with my own eyes the same thing that looks red in my office, which has, I don't know what kind of fluorescence, but, you know, not daylight, I don't think. You know, the redness disappears if I go outside because it's just a different color temperature. Okay, so says the Torah Sashlamim, he says, any, but says the Aruch HaShulchan here, and anyone have like a full Shulchan Aruch HaFazniza? Sorry, I only have half of my volume. But if you look at the Ramah later on, the Ramah says that v'abdika t'yela or hayom v'lo la or haner v'b'diyev nahani afilu or haner. It's pretty explicit. You know, maybe the Torah Shlomim just means that's what the Torah and the Mechaber hold. But the Aruch HaShulchan and the Ramah in Kof Tzadivav Dalet says lechatchila or hayom and b'shasat chak, you know, you can use an artificial light. Okay, and that's how we assume, even though I know there are some who say otherwise, but that's the mainstream sock, and that's our Masor. That's what my Rebbe told me. I see the hour's late. I want to talk about Rebbe's case. Well, first let me ask a scheduling question. First, where is everyone up to in Seder?
Okay.
The scheduling problem is that we have Wednesday, Thursday, and then Monday after Yom Tov, and then Tuesday. So we have like 3 days of Seder before the next Shear day, which means that I might like fall behind in Shear. Could we do...
And 2 weeks again. Okay.
Yeah. Could we maybe do a Shear, an extra Shear on Thursday, just so I can keep up in Shear and I won't be like way behind and when we start the next Zman. Are people available Thursday afternoon?
I mean, it's like a day and a little bit before the next.
Yeah, but I'm behind. Everyone's up to Gimel and I'm still in the middle of Aleph, right? I haven't even gotten back to that. Yosef, you have a conflict Thursday, right?
I'm going to be here anyways Thursday because like my father's coming in.
Okay. So you know what? Can we do Thursday, 3 o'clock in Midrash? Yeah, just 3 to 4, short cheer. Just for me to finish Aleph and Beis. And then you can go ahead and Gimel meanwhile, and I'll catch up to that next month. But just at least to finish Aleph and Beis, or maybe to introduce Gimel or something. So we'll have a short cheer Thursday, Amir Tz Hashem.
And we have cheer Sunday also?
No, Sunday's been his month. That's the point.
So
we have a short cheer Thursday, and then the first day is month is Monday, and then we'll have cheer Tuesday. Right? If it was going to be a cheer the next day, I wouldn't bother. But then it's going to be on Monday, Tuesday. Okay, so let's stop now. I know we're in the middle of a few things. We'll pick up what we're in the middle of. So Thursday, we'll have Shear in the Midrashiyah, Amir Tz Hashem. And then we'll have Shear, Tuesday after Simchas Torah.